the back of a tanned hand.
That's the only thing I miss up here, movies. When I get off the mountain, I go down to Aberani's lambing shed, and I stay there. He's got a big screen TV with a satellite dish that gets every movie in the world. You ever see that thunder in the sun?
I swallowed the first spoonful of stew and discovered I was famished, then devoured the bread, all the time thinking about how different this camp was from the last I'd visited. Nope, can't say I have.
Worst movie you ever saw. Had Jeff Chandler and Susan Hayward in it. Story about this Basque wagon train. He began laughing. Had these Basques jumping out of trees onto the Indians.
He glanced at Sazer Vittoria.
I recorded it, if you want to see it sometime.
Mr. Ariette, how well did you know Miguel Hernandez? He turned his head to look at me, a little annoyed that I'd interrupted.
The Mexican?
Chilean or possibly Colombian.
Moody man,
he studied me.
I heard he killed himself.
Possibly, or somebody killed him. The shepherd nodded.
That's what I heard, all right.
He glanced toward the sheep.
Only life this high.
So you think it was suicide? He turned to look at me, his eyes extraordinarily dark, like oil stains in his head.
No.
I stopped chewing and took a small sip of the wine, smoky and biting. Got any theories?
Not really. But he was difficult, and he doesn't surprise me.
The camp tender said the same thing, and that he had a habit of sticking his nose in other people's business. Do you have any idea what he might have meant by that?
No, he didn't say it to me.
Ariette sat on the steps of his wagon and watched, as his Aussie continued to try and get dog to play.
Most don't take this job to get into other people's business, but sometimes it just happens.
Meaning?
He motioned toward the bowl in my hand. You going to eat that stew?
Are you going to answer my questions? He took another shot of the wine and ignored me. Setting the bowl down on the stump he used for a serving table, I reached into my pocket and pulled out the drawing, unfolding it and holding it so he could see it.
Recognize this?
He ignored me again, but then turned and looked at the paper and the few designs.
Mostly it is names and dates, but the pictures are a way of getting past the barrier of language.
Sazer Vittoria lowered his spoon.
For communication purposes?
The shepherd nodded.
Bye.
All the way out here in this godforsaken place? Ariette shook his head.
And have you seen God back there in that place where you live?
I pointed at one of the designs, the one of the two figures. What does this mean?
Man, child, ancestors, possibly.
I pointed to the one below. And this, the floral one. He glanced at Sancho and then turned back to me.
Wards off evil. It is for protection.
From what? He shrugged.
Who can say?
I lowered the paper and glanced at it. I'm not much of an art critic, but the carvings are very good. Almost Picasso-esque, wouldn't you say? He stared at me, unblinking. I shot a look over my shoulder and held the paper to compare the drawings to the carvings. Very much like the ones over here on these trees. As a matter of fact, looking back at him, I picked up my wine and downed it in one gulp. I'd say they were carved by the same artist. Wouldn't you? Chapter 13. Lean on him a little heavy, didn't you? Driving out of the Hunter Creek cutoff, I watched the ice at the edges of the creek and the frozen shelves that were thawing in the afternoon sun, and thought about the substance of things and how the surface changed, but the layers were still there. He wasn't answering my questions, and I seem to have a lot of them lately. More than I do answers. I turned in the seat to look at Sancho. What was your read on the whole thing?
He wasn't nervous, if that's what you're asking.
No, I could see that, but anything else?
No, I mean, he spoke English the whole time.
But his body language, tone, the Basco thought about it.
He actually seemed a little pissed off, not angry that we were asking questions. Something else.
How would you categorize it?
Like we weren't doing our jobs, you know, the I pay your salary kind of thing.
Odd. I thought so, too.
What do you want to do next?
I buckled my seatbelt as he accelerated, now that we had reached the paved road.
Get some answers.
Looking out the side window at the scenery, I could tell we were in a temperate zone where the aspens proliferated in the small valley. Nobody is answering my questions. And it's not so much that as it is how they're not answering my questions. I don't get it. A mass, almost as if they're all in it together. Everybody? He laughed. Chances of that are kind of slim, aren't they, boss? Hitting the big loopy-loops as we crested the ridge and left the National Forest, leaning back in the passenger seat of my truck, I felt antsy, and not just because I wasn't driving. Want to go through it? His eyes twinkled and he smiled. Happy to. I studied him, thinking about his taking over as sheriff, but then wondered what that really meant for me on a day-to-day basis. I liked the kid, and maybe it was time to hand over the reins. We've got a dead shepherd. We do. Who may or may not be who we think he was. We passed the truck runaway ramp, and my attention was drawn through the main canyon to our small town in the valley below. We have a missing person, the son-in-law of the man who employs the shepherd, and the father of the boy on whom the grandfather is fixated. Yes, there are rumors of abuse. Yes, they're warned the grandfather absconded with the boy after the father went missing, endangering them both. And our sheriff. I shrugged. There's a woman involved who is in a relationship with the shepherd. Yes. There is a strange wolf in the mountains. There was a pause in his response as he continued driving. Care to explain that particular piece of information's bearing on the case? Not sure yet, but I thought it should be included since he ate part of the victim and he keeps showing up. Sancho thought about it. Any idea why he keeps showing up? Nope, I sighed, lowering my window just a touch to let some air in for Dog. Henry says I'm waiting for a vision, but that I'm not ready.
A vision?
Yep. Well, you're the only one who's actually seen him most of the time.
Meaning?
Maybe it is some kind of mystical sign. He glanced at me. That what you're going to tell the ice guy when he gets here? Probably not. Carefully negotiating the switchbacks, he shifted down, allowing the motor to do some of the braking. I'm not a big believer in that stuff, boss, but I've got to tell you that since I started working here, I've come to the conclusion that there might be more to it than I originally thought. Well, it's good to keep an open mind. It's more than that. I eyed him. What? I've been having these dreams. Wolf dreams. He paused, but then continued. It's strange, but it's like a merry-go-round where these red and blue wolves are chasing each other in a circle.
A carousel?
Yeah.
Red and blue wolves?
Yeah, not real wolves, but old wooden ones. And they're just running in circles and going up and down, chasing each other. Not like they're hunting or anything, more like playing.
Pulling at the chain around my neck, I unthreaded the massive ring from under my shirt, bringing it over my head and holding it out.
Look like this?
Slowing my truck, he pulled to the side and reached over, holding the silver ring with the coral and turquoise wolves chasing each other around the band.
Holy shit! His eyes came up to mine. Where did this come from?
When I went after those escaped convicts on the mountain a couple of years ago, I found this. And I know it belonged to Virgil White Buffalo because I saw it on him when we had him in custody.
Belonged? As in past tense?
I was hoping to give it back to him. I hedged my response. Nobody has seen or heard from him since then.
Just like my dreams.
Sancho continued to study the ring. Wonder what it means. He handed it back to me, and I hung it around my neck, stuffing it back under my shirt. Maybe the old Cheyenne or Virgil are starting to tune into you. He grew silent as he pulled onto the road and started off again, finally going back to the case at hand.
Well, knowing your pattern in these types of investigations, I'm assuming you're going to want to go back and look at the evidence, which includes the card from Mickey Southern, the pervert hunter.
It had crossed my mind. If this Webb guy has evidence of wrongdoing on somebody's part, then I'd like to know who and what.
Vic was on that?
She was. And we can also find out what Jeannie Lott had to say.
Are we calling in search and rescue on the Lott guy?
I suppose so. We've seen neither hide nor hair. I thought about it. I'm also going to want an update on Abarani. As soon as he's out of that medically induced coma, I'm going to want to talk to him. Reaching back and petting Dog as much for my sake as his, I glance at the Basco. Did I miss anything? That ring is totally weirding me out, boss. She's a piece of work. I leaned against the dispatcher's counter. That's your professional opinion? Vic turned to Ruby. Was she a piece of work? Ruby looked up at me. She was a piece of work. So we have a general consensus that she was a piece of work. My undersheriff sighed. I don't know where in Fort Collins she lives, but she was dressed to the outdoor nines and had on enough jewelry and makeup to sink the Andrea Doria. Sounds like the People's Republic of Boulder or Los Angeles up there in Montana. She groaned at my boorishness. You're a funny guy, you know that? Moving to my side, she took a breath before continuing. There's something more. I'm listening. She was beat up. I'm not sure when. And she did a good job hiding it with the makeup, but she was beaten at one point, I'm sure of it. Did you ask her about it? No. Then I will. I sat on the lower part of the counter to give my side a rest. So where are we? She's got a motel room out on the strip, and the Foster folks, the Anders, say she can come by and get Liam at their house this evening. She's going to spend the night and then head back with him in the morning. Did she mention her husband? No, but I volunteered the standard information about how people usually turn up and that there's no sign of foul play, blah, 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 blah. Did she ask about her father? I mean, she'll be driving by the hospital in Casper twice. No. Odd. Ruby nodded, continuing to type away on her keyboard. A piece of work. She does want her son back, though, right? Yes. Well, that's a relief. Any word from Casper on old Abe? Vic shrugged. They're unsure of his neurological status, but they've decreased the sedation and are waiting to see if he shows any signs of recovery. He's still on an endotracheal tube and a cardiac monitor along with a Foley catheter. So he's not going anywhere soon. I glanced around the main office in the old Carnegie building, as if the high ceilings and marble tread at the top of the steps might hold clues. Why would he risk his life taking his grandson fishing? Maybe it was a pattern, something they just did. Possibly, but that doesn't help me solve the case. Which is, remind me, the murder of Miguel Hernandez. Maybe the two aren't connected. That doesn't help me either. Sometimes this shit doesn't tie up like a nice bow on a wrap package, you know? I'm getting that. I leaned back to my dispatcher. Anywhere on search and rescue? She stopped typing. Three rustic young men with struggling beards came by and looked at the vehicle and the evidence and then said they would stop back and check in with you later this afternoon. I looked at the clock on the wall, which actually did hold clues, at least to what time it was. It is the afternoon. Later this afternoon. Anything more from the ice guy? He found the airport in Sheraton. Maybe they're more capable than we thought. He will be here tomorrow morning. Early or later? He didn't say. The front door opened, and the three rustic young men with the struggling beards and a lot of Gore-Tex climbed the steps like mountain goats. Later in the afternoon, it appears. They all stopped at the top of the stairs, a little unsure of themselves. Hi, guys. Hey, Sheriff. The lead one extended a hand. Mike Burgess. I'm the new head of S&R. What happened to Colin Ferriman? He got married and his wife told him he had to quit. Oh. Can we show you what we've got? Already? Yeah. I stood. How about right here on the counter? Sounds good. He pulled out a quad sheet from under his arm and unrolled it. Other than being abducted or just strolling down the road, he could have followed Clear Creek either in or out of town. Now, following west, he could have hooked up with the trail and then he's gone into the mountains, but we checked that pretty well. He could, of course, have gone the other way toward Bull Creek and Stockyard Trail, which goes both south and north toward the rodeo grounds and the airport. Any signs? Nope. But that was more of a hit and run anyway. Burgess looked at the others. We thought that with the snow skiff there might be prints, and we got a pretty good one from the interior of the jeep, but so far, nothing. Okay. One more thing? Yep. If you decide to auction off the Wrangler, we'd like first dibs. I stared at him. Anything else? Nope. We thought we might check Stockyard Trail again just to be sure. I nodded. Let me know if you find anything. He saluted, and they trooped back down the stairs as I turned back to Vic and Ruby. Think the piece of work would like to sell the Jeep? I want to talk to this Mickey Southern fellow. Vic leaned on my door jamb and crossed her arms.
Well, he's not responding.
What about the Denver PD? Have they got anything?
They say the only contact they've had with him is on the internet, but it's pretty straightforward what he does with this show of his.
We've written him emails.
There's a contact tab on his website that I've sent him messages on 4 times.
No address? No phone number?
No.
Any way we can get in touch with the people that run his website and get them to give us some kind of contact information?
She shook her head.
Given the nature of his outing perverts, I think he's well insulated.
You might as well be talking to the trees.
Punching the space bar, I watched as a photo of Katie and Lola reappeared. I'm about ready to. She came in and sat in her usual chair and peered around the computer at me.
You know, if all you're going to do is look at that one photo, they have these electronic frames that rotate pictures so you can have more than one.
Sounds a bit Tori as having dreams.
She stared at me, cocking her head.
That's nice. Wolf dreams.
And what does this have to do with the case?
Nothing, I guess. But the dreams are about red and blue wolves chasing each other on a carousel.
She stared at me some more.
What the fuck? Is he on drugs or something? I don't think so, but it sounds remarkably like Virgil's ring, doesn't it?
She thought about it, puckering her mouth.
I guess. Has he seen the ring?
Not that I'm aware of, at least not till I showed it to him today.
That's weird.
She scooted the chair over, giving herself a clearer view. So what's up with the other shepherd, Jacques Ariette?
He was a little antagonistic.
He's Basque, right?
I think it might be more than that.
I pulled out the drawings I'd made and handed them to her. These are remarkably similar to the carvings in the trees that were near Hernandez's camp. She pulled out her phone and held it up.
You do know that we have these things called cell phones that have these nifty cameras in them?
She put her phone away and studied the drawing.
So?
The ones on the other side are from Jacques Ariette's camp.
Your artwork is improving marvelously, and I think you're ready to draw Winky the Deer from the back of a pack of matches.
She flipped the piece of paper on my desk.
I repeat, so?
I think Ariette carved both.
Did you ask him if he'd been to Hernandez's camp?
He says he's been all over the mountains.
That's helpful.
I intimated that. He also said he's not the only one who does the carvings, and that some of them are 40-50 years old, which is about the lifespan of the aspens.
But the ones you saw were fresh?
I asked him about that, too, and he said that all the shepherds do it.
You think he's trying to hide something?
I'm not sure, but it seems like everyone is these days.
Leaning back in my chair, I looked at the ceiling. I asked him about Abe and whether he had a temper, and he said that he wouldn't work for a man who didn't have one, that it showed a lack of passion. I spread my hands.
And what is life without passion?
Vic reached down, turning the sheet of paper on my desk and studying it.
I'm starting to like this guy more and more.
She looked up.
What's the name of the camp tender, the one with the black eye?
Jimenez.
Right.
She studied the drawings. Look, I hate to be a conspiracy theorist, but what if Abe has all these guys working for him, and poor Miguel was the odd man out?
It's crossed my mind. But what's the motivation?
Hernandez found something out, and the others zotzed him.
Zotzed him?
I'm trying to use verbiage from your era. I was bored the other night and watched a gangster double feature, both of them starring John Garfield.
But what's the motivation for killing Hernandez?
She leaned back in the chair and crossed her arms.
Well, if old Miguel was as big of a walking, talking Colombian asshole as Ice appears to think he is, then there are all kinds of reasons to blip him off.
Blip him off?
You know, roast his chicken.
Now you're just making those up.
Look, anybody that did the things the Immigration and Customs people said this guy did deserved killing.
Geez, Walt, He tortured and murdered people, even his own bodyguard. But what does that have to do with shepherds in the Bighorn Mountains? I don't know. Maybe he got drunk and mouthed off to the wrong guy, and they decided to lend justice a hand. So either Henriette or Jimenez? Or Abe? She leaned in. Let's not forget that the son-in-law, Donnie, is still missing. Now I want to talk to the folks down at the Department of Labor in Colorado. I bet they answer their phone. I started to call for Ruby, but then thought better of it. Can I find the Colorado DOL phone number on the computer? She smiled. Faster than you can roast a chicken. Vic reappeared in my doorway and listened while I continued my conversation with the lady at the Colorado DOL. So what kind of vetting process do these folks go through when they register with the DOL? Department of Labor and Employment. The nice woman from the Department of Labor and Employment was having a good time talking to me on the speakerphone, so much so that I got the idea she didn't know many real sheriffs. Are you the guy from Wyoming that was down in Mexico a few months ago? Or then again, maybe she did. Yep, that was me. She laughed. I read about you in the papers. You're something of a loose cannon, aren't you? Vic smiled at that one, and I cleared my throat. Not usually. I listened as she settled herself in. Well, in answer to your question, we do a cursory interview, but if the individual has a clean working record with no felonies, then they're free to apply with a work visa attached. To be honest, we're not talking about rocket scientists here. Shepherds and agricultural workers like fruit pickers or even cowboys are in such demand at certain times of the year that if they're breathing and willing to work for $10 an hour, then they get in. Do you normally fingerprint the applicants?
No.
Then how did Hernandez's end up over at Immigration and Customs pitching red flags like it was a new continent?
I really couldn't say unless they were included from his native country.
I think if Colombia had had those prints, they would have never let him leave.
Possibly, she sighed. I'm sorry, Sheriff, I know I'm not being very helpful here, but I really don't have many answers for you. Most of our contact with Mr. Hernandez was through the enforcement branch that deals with working conditions, fair labor practices, and injuries.
And that's where Kasich Chichu comes in?
She's wonderful, isn't she?
I don't know, you tell me. There was a pause.
Have you had trouble dealing with her?
She's very passionate about her work, whether it's the Department of Labor, I quickly added, and employment, or the welfare of wolves.
She has lots of causes.
The woman took a deep breath and then continued.
She does a marvelous job in the more outlying areas that we really can't police, but I'd imagine you know about that.
There's a lot of abuse in the industry, and I'm afraid the poor workers bear the brunt of it. Miguel was abused in an earlier case that Miss Chichu mentioned.
Oh, it was horrible. Maybe one of the worst cases we've ever had. The employer actually beat his employees, didn't pay them, and practically starved Mr. Hernandez to death.
There was a physical altercation between the two men.
From our reports, yes.
And that was a rancher down there in Colorado?
It was, yes. Why, have there been others?
I shook my head, rested my elbows on the edge of my desk, and glanced up at Sancho. It just doesn't make sense.
Excuse me?
I looked down at the piece of paper on my desk.
If Miguel Hernandez is actually this Alfredo Rafael Anaya, it just doesn't add up.
Anaya tortured his people, killed them. He murdered his own bodyguard. This sounds like a dangerous man, if you ask me. So how does he get to the point where he's getting beaten up by a rancher down there in Colorado and was in another altercation up here where he didn't even raise his hands in defense?
Was that another work-related situation?
No, it was in a bar. But it still doesn't make sense, does it?
No, it doesn't.
Do you have any idea who could have relayed those prints to Immigration and Customs? There was another extended pause.
I wish I did, but they seem to have come out of nowhere. I mean, the prints are legitimately in his file, but we have no idea who could have forwarded them to the immigration people.
Was that done electronically?
By email, yes.
But it was just our general IP address at the office. No way to trace it?
I'm afraid not.
Well, I'll ask the ICE guy about that. In the meantime, can you forward that same file to me here in Wyoming?
It's all electronic, so I can send it to you via email.
Norma Manila folders, huh? I read her the address and bid a fond farewell to the Centennial State. I hung up my phone and looked at my undersheriff. What's an IP address?
Internet protocol. It's assigned to each computer as a formal designation.
And nobody there can track it down?
You can find somebody's location and such, but in an office of that size, I'm betting it wouldn't do any good, because they probably have communal computers that a lot of people use. Besides, who cares where the information came from if this guy's a fucking war criminal?
I stood and stretched, looking at Seth Thomas for some guidance.
It's 5 o'clock?
Yep, and you have a visitor.
Who?
Her voice took on an odd innocence.
The teacher woman is out here waiting for you. Something about a shower?
She needs a hose connection for her camper. She batted her eyelashes at me.
A hose connection?
Yep.
Why doesn't she just go to one of the RV campsites?
I already suggested that along with the shower downstairs, but she said, no thank you.
So, she's staying out at your place?
She's hooking a hose up to her camper out at my place and then coming back into town is how I understood it.
You might want to discuss that with her because she's out here with her blankie and her dog.
My truck broke down.
I stood on the stairwell with Dog, the previous sheriffs staring at me with grim faces from the 8x10 frames on the wall. Then maybe you should get a motel room instead.
I don't have the money.
I fished in my pocket for my wallet again. Well, how about we treat this as a ministerial aid and the county loans you enough to get a room?
I don't want charity.
She adjusted the Tibetan Dharma chakra hat, the tassels swaying.
Besides, Gansu doesn't like motels. She tends to bark.
Vic stood at the top of the steps, looking down at me, obviously enjoying herself. Hey, you've got a shower, don't you? She folded her arms and smiled.
Broken.
Your shower's broken?
Yeah.